So today's scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, starting in verse 23 through 31. And being to let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by thy mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy Jesus, by thy holy child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Heather, for your reading in that scripture passage. You know, God's word is always an encouragement to us, isn't it? Even if God's word calls us from sin, it's still an encouragement, right? Because sin is a discourager. The greatest discourager we can face is sin. Sin weighs us down. Sin pulls us down. But righteousness lifts us up with Christ. Amen? Yeah, so we thank God for his word. And so you can see it in your bulletin. Our sermon title today is, what is it? Your Holy Servant Jesus. Is that right? How many of you know that Jesus is holy? Let me see your hands. All right. How many of you know that without holiness, you can't make it into heaven? All right, I see some witnesses. How many of you know how to be made holy? All right, I see some hands. Because holiness is wholeness unto God. Think of holiness as complete surrender to God. Nothing held back. We don't have any area of our lives that is not surrendered. We surrender all. I surrender all. And the truth is, God deserves our entire surrender. Isn't that true? He does. He deserves it. And so I want to wish everyone here a very happy Sabbath day today. This is a day like no other day. After 6 days of toil and labor, the Lord has given us this day where we can come aside, we can deliberate and around and discuss his word, and we can grow in Christ, and we can have this community of believers of like mind getting together. We come for Sabbath school at 10 o'clock. We've actually, you know, have it a little bit later since COVID times, and we're hoping that more people can actually make it to Sabbath school. How many of you enjoy Sabbath school? Let me see your hands. Amen. It's a good time of discussion. It's a good time of participation. You know, and so when, I think one of my favorite times is actually Sabbath school. I can learn from others. And don't you think to yourself that you don't have something to teach this pastor. Because I am a learner. And sometimes you'll make some comments, you'll raise some questions. I didn't think about that before. But because you ask, it caused my mind to think along that line. We learn from one another. Yes, and it doesn't matter that I studied theology. I still learn from you. Amen? It's a growing process. We grow together. We are in this journey together. Amen? Yes, we are on the path to heaven. And we strengthen one another. We encourage one another as we go. And sometimes you're going to bring out some point that I didn't even think of. But you brought it out, and guess what? It is a blessing to me. It's an encouragement to me. And it gives me something to think. You know, even sitting in Sabbath school today, I have a new sermon topic. A remnant remains. I didn't think about that before, but there were just the discussion going on, and the thought just came home to me. A remnant remains. You know? And so that's how it works. And so you'll be hearing that sermon coming at some point. A remnant remains. But for today, we want to talk about your holy servant, Jesus. Let us pray. Father and our God, as each face here differs, so is each need. So were the struggles for each one this week. They were very different, Lord. But we all have one Lord and Father of us all. We all have one Savior and Lord, who is Jesus Christ. And we all have the same one Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who is God on earth teaching us today. And Lord, we have one common humanity, the brotherhood of all believers. Oh, Father, speak to us today. May we grow in grace, and may we come to a point of full surrender even before the sermon is over, Lord. Change our hearts and make us like you. And help us, Lord, to be filled with all the fullness of God, that we will please you, and we will be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we'll be a blessing to wider humanity out in the community. Speak to us from heaven, Lord, and may we listen to you here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, our scripture of meditation today is Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. And my sermon title is Your Holy Servant Jesus. I like those words in our opening hymn. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And you can say that too. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because Christ lives. Jesus makes the difference in this world. I've been by the sick, the dead, and the dying. And one thing I can assure you, there is no name sweeter than the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Many times I've been doing hospital ministry in another context. And we get to go in those hospitals, Dennis, and preach the word of God. And we are always centered on Christ with salvation. And several times I've had people die in the midst of my sermon right there on the hospital ward. Several times. But you know what? Even in their last moment, God was ensuring that he sent them a message of invitation. We don't know. Some of them might have been living for God. But at least they got an encouragement right to the very end. Some of them might have not made a decision. And like the thief on the cross, they got one more opportunity to say, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. God loves us with an everlasting love. And this week that we're wrapping up with today's Sabbath, God was with us every step of the way. How many times you were out there, Jimmy, and a car could have hit you off your bike. But God sent guardian angels to watch around you and to protect you. God did it. Amen. And you know, Gary, in your work situation, how many times you could have been exposed to this COVID, being that you know, your field of work, easily exposed. And some people get that virus more terrible than others. I know one person right now who has to be hospitalized because of this COVID. I didn't hear from a friend of mine in Canada for a little bit. And I just heard from her. I just sent her a happy Sabbath greeting last night. You know, I did a series at their church and she texted back and says, for 10 days I was on the ventilator. I got what is called the UK variant of this virus. And she says, I'm still not fully recovered, but I'm through the worst of it. My oxygen level is 94, 95. No, she still has to use oxygen at home. She'll have that oxygen supply at home for 3 months. I'm saying God has watched over us and we need to rejoice. Even if we are shy to speak on the mic, we should in our hearts be praising God. Amen. At least each of us can quietly praise God in our minds. Amen. But we should be praising God anyway. Friends, God looked over us this week. You know, Dennis, your field of work, you're out there this week, moving to and fro, interacting with many people. And God protected you and you are here today. Amen. And some of you in retirement, I mean, anything can happen at home too. But God protected you through this week. And we thank God. I know Ella has a big testimony. Yes, the Lord delivered you this week, Ella, right? He did. Praise be to God. God is at work. And you know, this past Monday, we were by the graveside to lay Sister Clarice to her place of rest. 2 weeks before that, it was Brother Gary Marsh. You know, and I don't know, this death rate is popping up. Did I tell you that my sister's sister, see we share, my still sister, I still have one sister in the city. Her and I, we share the same father. So that other sister from the city who passed away was living, you know, in New York City too. Now another sister of my sister passed away. But she's not my sister, but she's my... So my sister living in the city, she's now lost 2 sisters in less than 60 days. My mother-in-law, her sister passed away just days after my sister did. Well, this past Sunday, her brother died. So she lost 2 siblings. They'll now be having a double burial. Brother and sister laid to rest together. I'm telling you, people are dying. And we ought to make our calling and election sure. We need to ensure that God's holy servant, Jesus Christ, is filling our minds and hearts. We shouldn't be frightened by death. But we should ensure that our lives are surrendered to Christ. Amen? That is the key. And that was some nice discussion in Sabbath school today. And so our prayer today should be, Father, please show us, lead us to your holy servant, Jesus. You know, we need to pray daily for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, our day will go well. Because we'll set out in that day to honor God and to please God. So we need to pray daily for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to constantly reflect the character of God. You know, the character of God has been maligned by Satan, the adversary. He and his demonic imps are doing everything to prevent us from beholding the holy, perfect, sweet, merciful, compassionate, and loving and lovely character of God. The devil is doing everything for us not to see God. Even when we do get a glimpse of God's goodness, the enemy comes in like a flood to eclipse God's character from our view. Who find that to be true? Let me see your hands if you found that to be true. You really go after God and then Satan just come and try to wipe that all out. You try to memorize a certain passage of scripture that is meaningful to you and man, you struggle. But yet you can remember the movie from 1977. And you can't remember the scripture. That's spiritual warfare. The enemy is at war. He doesn't want us to retain the character and the likeness of God in our minds. By the way, Ellen White has a quote that she says, and this one is in the book Education, where she says, you know, the one about true education is more than the pursual of a certain course of study. It means more than the preparation for the life that now is. It has to do with the whole period of existence possible to man. But the point I want to go is that she says, godliness, godlikeness is the goal to be reached. Godliness, godlikeness is the goal to be reached. Are you godly? Are you godlike? I mean, that's a pretty high standard. That's not the pastor's standard. That's not the church's standard. That's God's standard for us to be godly, to be godlike. I think on a more day-to-day basis, we should carry a better bearing of God, because male and female were made in God's image, right? So we both reflect God. So whether you're a man or woman, boy or girl, we need to be godly and we need to be godlike on a daily basis. So whether we're at school, in the workplace, at recreation, or in retirement, we need to reflect God. Amen. See, Satan busies himself in distracting us so we don't take the time to develop and reflect God's holy character. So what do I come saying today? Now is the time to reflect the character of God. Now is the time for 10:15. Now is the time to spend a daily minimum of 10 minutes in earnest personal prayer and 15 minutes studying God's word, the Bible. In Luke chapter 11, the first four verses, Luke writes, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying," that's Jesus, "in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven.'" Our Father. Is God your Father? Our Father in heaven. Is the person you pass out there in the street your brother, your sister? God's their Father too. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We learn from the writing of Ellen White that angels in heaven, they wait on God with eager anticipation for the next duty. They are eager to hear, "What next would you have us to do, Father? What next?" And they are ready to wing their flight to the next duty. Angels who wait upon God, they just sit there ready for the next command, the next hint of a command. And before the word escaped God's lips fully, they are on their way to do God's bidding. How about us? Are we hesitant in doing God's will? Or are we excited about doing God's will? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. New King James Version. You may soon find out that in times like these, 10 daily minutes of prayer may just not be enough. How many of you found that out? You started with 10:15 and found out that 10 minutes of prayer is just not enough. Amen? There are times when all you can pray is 10 minutes. But you'll find out as you get thick with God that 10 minutes is a little bit of time. When you begin to talk to God and you have a sweet relationship with God, you'll find that you'll talk with him and 10 minutes disappear like a second. And you just keep talking with God because you enjoy communion with heaven, talking to the King of the universe, the sovereign Lord of lords. Talking to God is sweet, isn't it? And when you begin to talk with God, you find that your own soul is refreshed. And when you pray, don't just pray for you and your spouse and your children and your grandchildren. Pray for others too. Pray for your neighbors on the street where you live. Pray for your fellow brothers and sisters in church. And expand that to leaders in and outside the church, in the church and in the community, and in foreign lands and all over the world. Pray for missionaries. And pray that God will give you a missionary heart. Amen. You know, as a missionary, you don't need to go overseas to be a missionary. You know, there's a song that says, "Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do." You may not cross the oceans and the heathen land explore. The song says you might find the heathen nearer, even at your door. Yes. Be a missionary right where you are. If you're in school, you're not just in school to get an education. God has planted you there as his missionary. Amen. In the workplace, you're not just there to earn a living. God has placed you there as a missionary. Amen. I don't think you are retired to just go sit and do nothing. In retirement, God given you more time to be missionary for him. And I like Jones' tweak with that humanitarian call, where we should look out for those in our community with needs. And we do our best personally to supply those needs. And beyond personally, here we are as a church. We do what we can to help with needs in the community. Meeting the needs of those around us as best we can. It's something we're called to do. Yes and amen. How often do you pray? That's a question you don't have to tell me. You can answer it for yourself in your own mind. How often do you pray? Are you spending quality and a good quantity of time talking with God? Do you give God the opportunity to talk back to you? When you pray, do you stop and go quiet and listen God talk back to you? That's one part of the praying we neglect often. We just go to God and roll off a want list or wish list. And we just abruptly end amen and goodbye God, we'll talk to you some other time. No, that's not good. You need to talk to God and pause and let God talk back with you. When you're talking with a friend, you don't just dominate the conversation and don't give them a sentence, and even though some people are good at doing that. There are some people, you can talk with them literally. And you can, you talk to someone on the phone and they talk, and I guarantee you cannot get a sentence in. You can actually leave, go make breakfast and come back and they're still talking. They didn't miss your presence. There are people like that. Yeah, there are some people, they will not allow your sentence in, Nani. They'll just go. They'll go. We should not do that to God. We should not. We should take the time to develop this art of prayer, this discipline of prayer, to grow in our prayer life. Talk to God and have him talk back with us. As a matter of fact, this is what Ellen White says in Signs of the Times, July 18, 1902. Prayer is communion with God. It is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but it brings us up to God. Amen. Communion as with a friend. Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 22 verses 40 to 46. This is a commentary about him, and then he speaks. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. How many of you actually pray that? Outside of when you pray the Lord's Prayer. You know, and part of the Lord's Prayer says, lead us not into temptation, like we just did from the Luke version. How many of you actually pray that you enter not into temptation? Let me see the hands. All right, good. I see some hands. That's a good witness. Yes, Jesus says, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And you know, here in verse 42 of Luke 22, that verse causes me to ponder. Church, did Jesus know his mission to earth? Yes or no? I see some heads nodding saying yes. He knew his mission. How then was he faithless in praying here? If it is your will, take this cup away from me. Was that a faithless prayer? No, it was not. It was a prayer full of faith. He knew he came to pay the price for humanity. That included his death. And yet he prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. This is real praying. We pour the heart out to God. It's not dressed up praying. We want to sound fancy and eloquent or to impress somebody. It's praying with every passion of your being. Going out in living faith after God. It says, Father, he said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. And in humility, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Verse 43, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Do you pray more earnestly when you're in agony? It says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, and he had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? How can you sleep when souls are perishing? Right here in Elmira, right on the street you live, right in your community. Why do you sleep? Then he says, rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Twice he said it in that passage. Pray that you do not enter into temptation. You know, it is clear from this passage that if we are in an earnestly praying relationship with God, we will be spared many temptations. Amen? God is saying then, be a person of prayer. In John 5 verse 39, Jesus himself says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. So people search the scripture, and he was particularly speaking to the audience of his time, which is applicable to our time. It's not a mere studying the scriptures. It's not a mere searching the scriptures that guarantee us salvation. It is finding the Christ in scriptures that guarantee us salvation. Amen? He said, you search the scriptures and act of works which you think will earn your salvation, but the scriptures testify of me. Do you see Jesus? Do you behold Christ when you read the scriptures? When you did your Sabbath school lesson this past week and you get those myriad of texts and different points, Did you see Jesus in those Bible passages? I'm going to read for you from volume 3 of Testimonies to the Church. And this one is kind of easy to remember, guys. Volume 3 and the page is 333. Volume 3, page 333. It's all threes. The truth of God received into the heart is able to make you wise unto salvation. In believing and obeying it, you will receive grace sufficient for the duties and trials of today. I wonder if anybody caught that one. I'll read it again for you. The truth of God received into the heart is able to make you wise unto salvation. Who wants to be wise unto salvation? Amen. I see some witnesses. When it said the truth of God received, of course, the mind makes you, receiving to the mind makes you wise unto salvation. In believing and obeying this truth, you will receive grace sufficient for the duties and trials of today. Catch this next point. Grace for tomorrow you do not need. That's an inspired statement. Grace for tomorrow you do not need. You need for today. Grace for tomorrow you do not need. You should feel that you have only to do with today. Wow, did anybody catch that one? In other words, don't worry about tomorrow. Live today to the full by the grace of God. Amen? Grace for tomorrow you do not need. You should feel that you have only to do with today. Overcome for today. Deny self for today. Watch and pray for today. Obtain victories in God for today. I like that today-ness of salvation. That now-ness of salvation. Do you realize that when you become depressed is when you worry about tomorrow? When you become anxious is when you worry about tomorrow? Don't borrow tomorrow's problem and spend it today. Enjoy God's goodness for you today. Amen? Yes. We get perplexed when we borrow tomorrow's problem and spend that currency today. We become bankrupt. Our circumstances and surroundings, the changes daily transpiring around us, and the written word of God, which discerns and proves all things, these are sufficient to teach us our duty and just what we ought to do day by day. You know, it's number 532 in your hymn book. Pop out your hymn books and take a look at that song. 532. That song says, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. When last have you sung that one? Day by day. Aren't those words beautiful? You know, there's another one that says moment by moment. Day by day. A daily basis. Come on up. Come sing that one. They're going to sing a hymn for us. Amen. Stages, come on up with Nanny. Let's have a verse of that one. Day by day. Amen.
Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. to each day what he deems best. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest.
Amen. Thank you. And so you see, even the art of preaching is congregational. Amen. They help me to preach by singing a song. We all participate in this work together. Amen. And so it's a daily experience that God wants us to have. Instead of suffering or allowing your mind to run in a channel of thought from which you will derive no benefit, you should be searching the scriptures daily and doing those duties in daily life which may now be irksome to you, but which must be done by someone. Diligently search the scriptures while you do life's duties. You don't need to be a monk or a nun or a hermit somewhere. Bloom where you are planted. Please God now. Be holy now. Be a holy servant for God right here and right now. Amen. Now in Acts chapter 4, verse 7 through to 13, it says, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Amen. And we have cornerstone represented this morning. Praise be to God. Amen. And then verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Notice what verse 13 says now. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled. And I chose the NIV version for it because I don't quite like the way it says it in some of the other versions, you know. I like this one. They were unschooled. Mean they didn't go to Andrews and get a bachelor's or an MDiv. But it doesn't mean that you don't have to have a letter in front or behind your name to say that you are learned, right? Because, for example, Ellen White that we just quote, or we quote oftentimes, she didn't have more than a grade 3 formal education, academic education. But yet she's written, one of the most prolific writers of all times. And she's written on things that science is just catching up with. That's what can be done under inspiration. You don't have to go to big schools or have big degrees or stuff. As long as you have the BA, being born again, amen? Makes a difference in the world. Christ will fill you with wisdom. And so here it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, that they were ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The question to you today is it possible for anyone to take note or to realize that you have been with Jesus? Can people look on and take note that you have been with Jesus? You see, after Peter and John were arrested for Christ's cause, for preaching Christ and biblical Christianity, the Bible picks up now in Acts chapter 4, the portion that was read, beginning in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. It is good to have companions in life. And companions doesn't have to be your spouse which you're married to, because not all people are married. But it's good that when you're married, your spouse is your number one companion. Amen? But if you're single, you can have a good companion. I'm not talking about a lover now. Someone who is of like mind. Someone that you can talk spiritual things with. Someone who can encourage you in the way. Someone you can encourage in the way. These guys, Peter and John, came back. And by the way, Peter was married. How many of you knew that Peter was married? Amen. I have witnesses. The Bible says Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Yeah. And so if all the popes would get married, they say Peter was the first pope. He was married. So all popes should be married if they're following Peter, right? Ah, yes. And many of the priests would have more moral lives if they were married. Hmm? Yes. And so here it says, they went to their companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Now, look at the response. Verse 24 says, so when they heard that, what did they do? They ran away, right? He said, when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. And they quoted a verse from the Sabbath commandment. How many of you caught that? It says, Lord, you are God. Here is a direct quote from the fourth commandment. Who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. That's a direct quote from the Sabbath commandment. See how important Sabbath worship is? It always tells that God is creator. That's one of the big high points of Sabbath worship. It's a memorial of God's creation. God is creator. He made our world. So when we come here on the Sabbath, we're telling to the world that God is creator. He made the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested the seventh day and gave the Sabbath as a day of rest to mankind. That's the difference between the observance of Sabbath and the observance of Sunday. One is God made, one is man made. Amen? They lifted up their voice here in this emergency, and their affirmation of faith was that God, the creator of the Sabbath, is ruler. I mean, that is important to me. They could pray for anything else, but they included this in their prayer, and we should take note. Look next what they said. In verse 25 it says, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage? King James Version say heathen. And I watch you struggle on that word there, Heather. Because it in the end, it's an R and an N for your name. So it might twist your tongue how you pronounce it, you know? Yeah, so why do the nations, you know, and our Gentiles rage? And the people plot vain things. Verse 26. And this is praying. And this is a part of their prayer. See, they weren't beating around the bush. They were feeling the heat of persecution. And they were really straightforward with God about what they prayed. Verse 26. They're talking to God still. The kings of the earth took their stand. And the rulers were gathered together against the Lord. And against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, these were two enemies before the trial of Christ. They became friends to get rid of Jesus Christ. These guys were sworn enemies before Christ's trial, but yet they collaborated on getting rid of Christ. I want to say to you today, in the political arena, I see people are becoming sworn enemies just because of political affiliation. But in the end, it doesn't matter your political affiliation. They'll collaborate to get rid of God's remnant. Always remember that. No side will be standing up for you. Political side, I'm talking. They both will be one when persecution comes, and they're going to persecute God's children. I wonder if I'm saying that clearly to God's children. Political people are concerned with power. They'll take any sides so they can be in power. Only God will stand up with you when the time. Isn't that what the angel said to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10? No one stood with me except Michael, your prince. And in Daniel 12 verse 1, it says, in that day there will be a time of trouble such as never was. And Michael will stand up for you. Mikael, who is like God. Christ is the one who is like God. Christ is our Michael. And so, here it says, they have stood against your servant, these rulers and people alike. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Look at verse 29. I was amazed at this point in verse 29. They didn't pray for God to take them to some cave and hide them away. That never even seemed to be a big concern of theirs in this trouble. Verse 29 says, now, Lord, look on their threats. In other words, their threats are real, Lord. And what did they ask God to grant to them? And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Wow. Not a time to cower. When the world is in cowardice, we should step out bold for Christ. When the world is loaded with fear and hatred, we should step out with love and the power of God. We should be the salt of the earth, preserving the image of God and the knowledge of God to mankind around us. We cannot become cold-hearted because the world has gone cold. Jesus did say the love of many heart will wax cold. King James Version will grow cold. The love of many heart. And here it said they prayed not for mere protection. They say, yes, Lord, the threats are real. But grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand, God, to heal. Does our community need healing now? This COVID has created such a rampage. We have some ideas what people can do to help. You know? The vaccine is doing its job in mitigating some, but the vaccine is not the answer to all. We have the health message to show people they can build strong immune systems. And I guarantee that some of us here are alive because we have followed the health message and God gave us a resistance. So even when COVID came knocking at our doors, because God has built us up, we're able to resist that disease and we have not succumbed to it. Isn't that true? It says, grant that your holy servant stretch out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Repeated here. Christ be lifted up. Isn't that what Jesus said? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Isn't that what he said? Yeah, that's what he said. And so we see this prayer that they pray that God will heal. Stretch out your hand. Work these miracles, Lord. And when they had prayed, verse 31, I like that verse. What happened when they prayed? And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. When last did you pray and the place shook? It says that the place was shaken. And what was the reason for it shaking? The divine showed up. It says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Look. When I look at each of you present here, it doesn't matter what the number is, what your age is, what your condition is. When you're filled with the Spirit, there's much more that God will have us accomplish for Him. And so I'm appealing to you today. Make it your number one priority each day to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Pray for the baptism of the Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, we will have God's peace in this world that surpasses human understanding. We'll be able to share that peace with others. You know, I was out in the community on Thursday night, and there was a man, and we got talking. Told him my name, I told him where I'm originally from, and so I asked him, "Where are you from?" Turns out he's a Palestinian. He's from Palestine, but he has no place to call home, because where his ancestral land is, there's Israeli settlement there. So he has no home. He has no homeland. And so we got talking for a while there. You know, he's a PhD student at BU. He's studying computer science, you know. And so we got talking, and he asked me some question about Jesus. But, you know, I told him I want to make some time so he and I can sit down one-on-one, uninterrupted time, where I can talk to him about Jesus. See, he asked. So by God's grace, I'm going to go pray it up and supply him with answers. You know, and I spent most of the time just listening, because that's what you do in evangelism. Listen a lot. Listen. Listen carefully. Active listening. Listen to the person's heart. And you know, it turned out that he doesn't have much of a social life. And when I took the time to talk with him, it made his day. We exchanged phone numbers. You know, and so I'll be setting up something in the new week. So you can be praying for me on this one. I'll be setting up something with him tonight, tomorrow. So in the new week, we can meet up. And I can really get an opportunity to express to him who Jesus is. Because, you know, in the religion of Islam, they hold Jesus as a prophet, so it's a good start. But I want to show to him that Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus is the prophet from Moses' prophecy, you know. So I want to take him back to the scriptures and show him, because as Muslims, I don't know if you're aware, they are supposed to believe in the scriptures, the Bible. I don't know if you're aware of that. They are supposed to believe in the Bible. But I think not enough Christians take enough time to actually show them the scriptures. We talk and share opinions, but I want to take him to the Word, and I want to see his response to the Word. And so my goal is that, you know, he can get to see who God's holy servant Jesus is. That he's God himself. That he's God himself, you know. And so as we talk about this subject today, your holy servant Jesus, who is Jesus to you? Who are you to Jesus? What does Jesus Christ mean to you? You have heard about him. You've talked about him. You've sang about him. You've even prayed to him. You might have even preached about him. But still, after all of that, who is Jesus to you? Who are you to Jesus? When time on earth is no more, as we know it now, who will Jesus be to you? Who will you be to Jesus? In the end, will God be able to vouch for you and say, "This is a friend of God"? Or will God say, "Depart from me. I have never known you"? Meaning, we've never had a relationship, a good relationship. You've always avoided my entreaties. You've always avoided my invitations. Time after time, I have waited for you. But you never make up your mind. You never made that choice and make that full and complete surrender. Who is Jesus to you? I don't know, friends. Who he is to you? But I can tell you that from me, Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of all lords. Jesus is my Savior from sin. Jesus is my High Priest in the heavenly sanctuary. Jesus is my soon coming King. And above all, Jesus is my King and God. Who is Jesus to you? What will you make of Jesus today? He's given us 10 commandments. 10 commandments. Take the time, go through them again, and pray earnestly to God and ask Him to fulfill in your life, that your life will be aligned, your life will be in harmony with these 10 commandments. They are a transcript, a write-up of God's character. Take the time, go over, go to Exodus 20, go to Deuteronomy 5. They are repeated there. Go through those 10 commandments and really, one by one, go through them and ask God, where do you stand regarding these commandments? And then you run for the parallel in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and ask God if you are really saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Do that for yourself. See what you come away with. You maybe even want to, if you're not in the habit of journaling, you maybe want to write something down that God revealed to you when you do this simple exercise of going through the Ten Commandments and faithfully, earnestly look over your life and go through Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 and earnestly, faithfully look over your life. One of these days soon, time on earth is going to end. Could be sooner than you think, though it may be a little longer than you wish. Christ is coming back. He has done everything possible to save us. There's nothing that he could have done that he did not do. And so my appeal to you today is, make a full and complete surrender to Jesus Christ. Do it now. Even as we sing this closing hymn, do it. Don't wait until you go home. Don't wait for that. Do it now. The song is number 264 in your hymn books. Oh, for that flame of living fire, which shone so bright in saints of old, which bade their souls to heaven aspire, calm in distress, in danger bold. Hymn number 264. Let's stand and sing that one. That's a beautiful and powerful prayer, isn't it? We're asking God to pour the Holy Spirit upon us. Let us bow our heads together as we pray. Our great God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for this privilege we have today to call on your name. Lord, we have come to your house because not only that duty demands it, Lord, but we are ever thankful to you for your goodness, for your grace, for your love, and for your mercies. We have come to this place, Lord, because you have called us in your word to come together, to assemble ourselves together. Especially, Lord, as we see the day approaching, the day of Christ's second coming, we should even be assembling more and more. Help us then, Lord, to realize that this is the day that you have made. This is the day we have for salvation. This is the day we have to say, I surrender all. So we come to you now, Lord, and ask you to touch each of our hearts. Each of us in your presence here today, Lord, we ask that you will touch our lives and make us whole. Whether we are online or we are here in person, Lord, let your spirit be over us. Give us a new heart. Give us transformation. Oh, Jesus, be with every single person who set foot in your house today. And I ask for a very special divine blessing upon each worshiper, that as we go from this worship service, Lord, we'll go filled with the Holy Spirit himself. We'll go filled with the power and the presence of God. We'll go filled with the protection of God. And thank you, Lord, that you always fill us with the provision of God. Have thine own sweet way in our lives. Make us whole again. Restore the image of God in us. And may your holy servant Jesus live out his life in our hearts. Change our hearts, O God. Make us like you. Renew us, Lord. And as we go from this place today, help us to go with the assurance that salvation is mine. Help us to go with the encouragement, Lord, that you will be with us. And help us to go, Jesus, with the commitment that we will help others, beginning in our own homes, to know you better and that we'll reflect you better. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Thank you for hearing from heaven. Please forgive our sins and make us pure. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.